The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please rise and begin singing our first hymn.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Continue with the intro printed in your bulletin. O God, save me by your name.
And vindicate me by your might.
O God, hear my prayer.
Give ear to the words of my mouth.
For strangers have risen against me.
And they do not set God before themselves.
Behold, God is my helper.
The Lord is the upholder of my life.
He will return the evil to my enemies.
In your faithfulness, put an end to them.
For he has delivered me from every trouble.
And my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies.
O God, save me by your name.
And vindicate me by your might.
O God, hear my prayer.
Hear the ears of the words of my mouth.
God, we implore you, show your mercy to your humble servants, that we who put no trust in our own merits may not be dealt with after the severity of your judgment, but according to your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
Question 41. Do all religions worship the same God? No, all religions do not worship the same God. Some religions teach that life includes a spiritual dimension, but they reject their creator and his salvation in Jesus. For example, Hinduism, Buddhism, Shintoism, and also various folk religions. Some religions claim to worship the God of Abraham and even regard the Old Testament as sacred writings. But they reject the triune God by rejecting his salvation in Jesus Christ. For example, Islam and Judaism. Some religions claim to be Christian and hold the Bible sacred, but reject Scripture's witness that Jesus is the true Son of God, one with the Father, and therefore also deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Examples are Mormonism and the Jehovah's Witnesses. Some religious practices involve seeking help from supernatural forces rather than God the Creator, who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. For example, Wicca or satanic arts such as sorcery, superstitions, spirits of the dead, good luck charms, psychics, Ouija boards, astrology. Note that Saul disobeyed God by seeking out a psychic. Some religions or moral philosophies combine elements of the above, idolize humanity, or simply believe in a generic deity, moralistic, therapeutic deism, humanism, and certain lodges. They reject God's exclusive revelation of salvation in Jesus Christ alone. The one true God reveals himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This one true God is the person of the Son became flesh in Jesus Christ. There is no other God. The Old Testament reading for the 26th Sunday after Trinity is from the 7th chapter of Daniel, beginning with verse 9. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the ancient days was sealed. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and books were opened. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. And the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and the kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with the gradual printed in your bulletin. He calls to the heavens above,
and to the earth, that he may judge his people.
The heavens declare his righteousness,
for God himself is judge.
The epistle reading is written in 2 Peter, beginning with verse 3, and verses 3 through 14. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world then that existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia verse. Alleluia,
Alleluia. Alleluia. The ransom of the Lord shall return, and the compensation will sing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy. Alleluia.
Holy Gospel is written in the 25th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 31. Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared before you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Here endeth the Gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 22. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy fellowship and solemn church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with the next hymn.
Thank you.
based mostly on Matthew 25, but more specifically on verses 45 and 46. He will answer them, saying, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life." The theme is, why do good works? The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen. So on the last day, the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, and before him all nations will be gathered. And he will separate the people, just as a shepherd separates the sheep and goats. The sheep will be on his right. They will enter eternal life. The goats on the left, though, will go into eternal punishment. They're saints in Christ. People do not like to think of a final judgment. And oddly enough, many who even believe in heaven don't believe that there is a hell. I'm sure many people come to this opinion by their own wishful thinking. Nevertheless, even those who claim to be leaders in the church make the same claim. The former bishop of the ELCA was asked in an interview for the Chicago Sun, "Is there a hell?" She answered, "There may be, but I think it's empty." Well, unquestionably, she's wrong. Jesus is right. Jesus tells you undoubtedly that just as there is a heaven where the righteous will enjoy eternal life, there is a hell where the cursed will go to be punished eternally. So for anyone who fears God, life's greatest question is, how will I be judged righteous so that I go into eternal life and not into eternal punishment? Scripture undoubtedly answers this question, that you are declared righteous by God through faith in Jesus Christ, not by your works. The Holy Spirit caused St. Paul to write in his letter to the Christians in Rome, "Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." Just as David also speaks of the blessings of the one to whom one counts righteousness apart from works, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin." You see, you are declared righteous because you are forgiven for Christ's sake. For the sake of Jesus' suffering and death, all of your sins are forgiven. So this means that on Judgment Day, absolutely none of your sins will remain to accuse you. As the psalmist says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." You don't earn this forgiveness and righteousness through your works. Rather, it is given to you as a gift through faith alone. As St. Paul states to the Christians in Rome, "For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." And the gospel reading agrees with this teaching. The king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." This kingdom, where the righteous will enjoy eternal life, was prepared for them from the foundation of the world. In other words, before the righteous could do any righteous deeds, God had chosen them as heirs, blessed them, prepared a kingdom for them. This is exactly what St. Paul says to the Christians in Ephesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing and in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Nevertheless, the Lord Jesus chooses in this reading on the final judgment to extol good works. The righteous will be praised for their good works. While these works don't earn your salvation, they were prepared beforehand for you to do. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So what are the good works prepared beforehand by God himself, which will be praised by Christ as he sits on his glorious throne? Well, they are works of love, giving food to the hungry, water to the thirsty, clothing the naked, visiting those in prison, and aiding the sick and lonely. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's actually pretty simple. Undeniably, even non-Christians, though, can do these things. Why then are they not rewarded? I mean, a good tree bears good fruit. The fruit of a Christian is good, because the Christian has been washed by the blood of Jesus and received the Holy Spirit through faith. So even when your works seem insignificant, God counts them as precious, because one of his little children has done them. The works of the unbelievers are not praised by God because they are produced by bad trees. Scripture states that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So without faith, all your works stand together, the good and the bad. Every so-called good deed you do will be judged by your sinful motive and along with all your evil thoughts and desires. Nevertheless, through faith in Jesus, God makes your works holy. Your sins are erased, and God glories in your works that Christ has done through you. And to whom do these good works of love, do you do them? Now, you are certainly commanded to do good works to everyone, even to your enemies. Scripture states that if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. Nevertheless, Jesus says to the righteous, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So who are the least of these his brothers? Well, they are the fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus wants you to find him in your fellow Christians. He says the same thing in Matthew. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And later on in Matthew, Jesus says, whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. You see, Christ dwells in each of his Christians. Accordingly, he wants each of his Christians to love one another. The Lord says in the Gospel of John, a new command I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So that if you hate one of your fellow Christians, you hate someone Christ loves. Even more, if you hate one of your fellow Christians, you hate Christ. It is common for people to say that they love Jesus. It is less common for people to say that they love Christ's church. Nevertheless, people refuse to go to church because they don't like the people there, or they show complete disinterest in the people of God. All the while, they claim to love Jesus. If you're going to love Christ, you have to love his church. And this is why the king will bring these works and extols them as the finest works ever done. He extols them as one would a bountiful harvest from his grove of fine trees. These works show love to Christ. You all want to serve Christ. If you don't want to serve Christ, then you aren't a Christian. But how do you serve Christ? He's in heaven. You're down here. Jesus tells you to love one another. You see, when you receive your brother and sister in Christ, you receive Christ himself. And through these marvelous works, God does great things, both in this life and in the life to come. Just look at the incredible welfare provided to the poor and needy by Christians, orphanages, hospitals, schools, charities, relief programs. Yes, Christians will help even unbelievers, but they have especially taken care of their own. And this glorifies God. And who builds churches and funds missionaries? Do unbelievers pay for men to preach the gospel, baptize and visit the sick and distressed? No, Christians who love Christ and his church do. God worked through Christians to fund missions, to build churches, to translate Bibles and other Christian books. And you today are the benefit of these acts of love. You have a church building built and paid for by the tithes of others who came before you. You benefit, even in eternity, by the sweat, blood and sacrifice of Christians who went before you, who loved Christ's church and wanted future generations to learn of Jesus. And how many of you here today benefited from a father and mother who are determined to teach you about Jesus, to bring you to church, to pray with you, who received you in Jesus' name? Do you love Christ's church? Do you love your fellow Christian? Do you care if they are hungry or thirsty? Whether they need clothes or just a friend to talk to? Or someone who will pray for them? Do you care about the salvation of your neighbor? Do you teach your children about Jesus? Do you support the preaching of the gospel so that future generations can have the inheritance you have in heaven? An acquaintance, friend of mine, was given a t-shirt as a joke with a sentence on the front which says, "Jesus is coming, so you better look busy." But that's not the message of Jesus for you today. You can't look busy for Jesus. You can't give a bunch of money to the church, donate your clothes to charity. That would be like taping apples onto an ash tree. No, to produce good fruit, you need to be a good tree. To love Christ's church, you first need to have faith in Christ. You'll notice that when Christ credits the righteous for their selfless works of love toward him, the sheep replied, "Lord, when did we see you in need and minister to you?" You see, they were ignorant of their own good works. They didn't remember them. That's because they weren't keeping tabs of their own good works. They weren't just keeping busy in hope that Christ would consider them righteous. No, they loved because God loved them. The Christian is rich in good works, but the Christian doesn't trust in his good works. He trusts in Christ. St. Paul says, after a plethora of good works, proclaims, "But whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." They're saints in Christ. So why then do good works? God finds value in your good works. You find value in Christ. If your good works are lacking, if you are lacking love for your fellow Christian, focus on Christ. It is through faith in Christ that Christ works in you and works through you. And for those who trust in Christ, their good works will not go unrewarded by God. You have certainty that you will inherit the kingdom of heaven by having certainty in Christ Jesus, the one who died for you. Everyone who has faith in the forgiveness of sins through Christ will be called blessed by your Father in heaven. Amen. And all the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, on to everlasting life. Amen. Pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. In love you have forgiven the debt of our sins through the cross of your Son. Create in us hearts that forgive our brother for his offenses against us, that your love would lead to grateful love in us also. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, inspire your church by the mercies of Christ to live in forgiveness with one another, and to hold out your forgiveness for all people. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you establish our families on the foundation of your forgiveness toward us and on us toward one another. Fix our hearts together on the sacrifice of Christ and lead us after his humble example. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you guide the nations and judge the peoples with equity. Give those who govern wisdom to enact laws without sinful bias, and to foster charity among the citizens of our land. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Trenton, Victoria, and Travis, continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Gracious Lord, as you have restored our souls by your forgiveness, extend your remedy to those whose bodies are suffering, especially the family of Bev Bays, Barb, Marianne, Jerry, Patty, Kristen, Julie, Marge, Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Moe, Mike, Jenna, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Larry, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Lizia, Gordon, Deb, Pastor Fish, Mary, Billy, Ted, Tony, the Langton family, the Leslie family, Grace, Belinda, and the Brown baby. Stir up in them the praise of your temporal and eternal healing. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Mighty God, you have shown us your great mercy through the death of your Son. May all who partake of his supper come with repentant and humble hearts to taste the true body and blood of Christ, which was given and shed for our life. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O Almighty God, we confess that we are poor sinners and could not give an answer if you should contend with us. Yet do we thank you with all our hearts that you have taken our guilt from us and laid it upon your dear Son, Jesus Christ, who has atoned it for us. Graciously sustain us in this faith. Govern us by your Holy Spirit that we may live according to your will in love and service to our neighbors. Do not let us give way to wrath or revenge, and so incur your wrath. But let us always find in you a gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you. Unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died upon the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels with all the company of heaven. We laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given to death for your sins. Take, drink the true body of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Now, this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Given to death for your sins.
Shed for the remission of all your sins.
Rise, we continue with the Nunc Dimittis. Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.